On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Frank Velasquez. Frank, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. Pleasure to be here. And my name is Frank Velasquez. I'm the Director of Sports Performance for the Allegheny Health Network, University of Michigan graduate a long time ago. Spent a little bit of time in outpatient physical therapy, and then in 1996, I got my first job in professional baseball as an athletic trainer, minor league athletic trainer, with the Texas Rangers, Charleston, South Carolina, the Sally League. At the time, it was just one division. Now I think it's two divisions, a lot more teams. I spent 4 years as a minor league athletic trainer. During those 4 years, I achieved my CSCS certification. Strength and conditioning was becoming more popular in baseball, and I thought that was the smart move to make. To be the dual certified, and after my fourth year as a minor league athletic trainer, the major league strength coach resigned. The coordinator, strength coordinator, got promoted, and then they asked me if I was interested in being the minor league strength and conditioning coordinator for the Rangers. So I took that position, and I did that for 3 seasons as a roving instructor, oversaw our teams in America, and then we had 2 academies in Latin America, one in Venezuela and one in the Dominican Republic, which is very, very custom to most organizations. I did that for 3 seasons. So after 7 seasons with the Rangers, 2003, I became the major league strength coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I ran with the Pirates for 9 seasons. I had a great time, learned a lot, made a lot of great friends. And after the 11th season, changes were made. And they went in a different direction, and instead of interviewing, there were some other openings that I was asked to interview for. It was 16 years in, and my wife came and said, you know, Frank, we'll support whatever you want to do, but Caden, who was my 7-year-old son at the time, Caden and I are going to stay here in Pittsburgh. You know, we want to make this our home base, and we love Pittsburgh. It's a great place to raise a family. It's in between both of our families, my wife's family in Virginia Beach and my family in Michigan. So I chose to stay out, and I opened up my own facility. It was a small boutique sports performance training center. We had physical therapy and strength training and our nutrition and therapeutic massage. And I built a nice brand, about 4.5 years, the Allegheny Health Network came calling and, ended up selling my part of the business to my business partner of my Vesla 360 business. And came out with Allegheny Health Network in September of 2015 and have since been with them building up their sports performance department. So I oversee 2 facilities now, one in the north suburbs of Pittsburgh and one in the south. And it's what I did, but now on a much bigger scale with physical therapy and our recovery services and strength and conditioning, therapeutic massage, nutrition consulting. It's a lot of fun. We're working with a lot of different types of animals, different ages. And it's something new for Allegheny Health Network. And I'm just doing what I love to do, man, and help people reach their goals and making an impact, be the difference maker. And just, you know, like you said, living the dream, just a different avenue, man.
No doubt.
So that's kind of me. That's what I've been doing about the last 20 years.
No doubt, man. That's awesome. I think that's the biggest thing in this field is just helping people, man. Like you said, helping people reach their goals. And so you probably got a lot of different ages and whatnot there, young kids, older adults, athletes, non-athletes, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so our target markets, and this is the biggest thing getting out of baseball. I never had to charge for my services or have a marketing plan or know how to read a P&L sheet. And I took business 101 on the fly, man. And we target active adults, so those 9-to-5ers, weekend warriors, marathoners, you know, recreational athletes, developing youth. Our youngest we go to 9 or 10. And it's all age appropriate exercises on up to 75 and 80 year old triathletes, you know, that are still going after it, and everything in between. Our athletes are from novice to professional, and that's really our niche, is that active athletic market. And ages are from young to the elderly.
That's great, man. The beauty of this is anybody can work out, right? Anybody can look to have better health and better fitness through exercise and, all, like you said, the nutrition, the recovery. So that's great. It sounds like you're enjoying it. I can hear the passion in your voice. So that's awesome.
Yeah, man. Performance is a very broad term. Whether you're trying to throw the ball harder or hit the ball further or just wake up without pain or maybe you know, get a PR in your 5K, it's different for everybody. And everyone that comes through the doors, Chris, they have something they want to do, man, and it's our job to help them reach it. So that's what we do.
For sure, for sure. That's awesome. All right, so one thing you didn't mention is that you worked at WBC with Team USA. I'm sure you had a blast with that. Before we get too far into that, I just kind of want to hit a broad question here. Has the game changed over time for you? You know, back in the 90s when you came in to working with today's athletes, has the game changed at all in terms of performance training or education of the players or anything of that nature?
The game, I don't think it's changed, but everything around the game has changed. You know, it's still 90 feet, you know, 60 feet, 6 inches, 9 guys on the field, whatnot. But yeah, technology is much more evolved in the game than it was even 6 years ago since I've been out, let alone, you know, 20 years ago when I got in, with a lot of the metrics and the analytics, that wasn't as big back then. Of course, drug testing has changed. We didn't have drug testing when I first came in. So things were a little bit different in the mid-90s. Recovery, you know, back then it was a badge, you know, to play the 162, and it was expected of our position players. Nowadays, we're having purposeful rest days, and I think the industry is starting to take not only the strength and conditioning or the sports medicine, but the baseball industry is starting to take a closer look at volume of work done and rest days to help rest the horses for the playoff or the stretch run in September and October. So that's a little bit different. There's a little bit more of an eye on rest and recovery. Sports nutrition, you know, back when I got in, it was, you know, soup and hot dogs and nachos, and you had, you know, different foods like that. Now, you know, most organizations at the major league level have personalized chefs, and even in the minor leagues, they're catering to teams at home and on the road. So nutrition, daily nutrition plans has definitely evolved in a good way over the past 20 years. And then our strength training, you know, back when I got in, there were some non-baseball guys in our positions that maybe just did some things that were not as conducive or not recommended for baseball players. But over time, it's become much more of a specialized position with the education behind it. So I think the position has evolved where more baseball people are getting into it, really understand the rotational power, the shoulder, the elbow, the whole kinetic chain, and working with the sports medicine staff, becoming part of the sports medicine staff instead of being out on an island.
Yeah, the stories I've heard from some other people about kind of how secluded the strength coach was back in the day versus now, like my manager and pitching coach and hitting coach, we all work out together and we discuss, you know, the plans, and they are genuinely interested in what we're doing. So I think those are kind of steps in the right direction, where if the baseball staff's on board with the strength staff and vice versa, like that's going to go a long way in baseball.
Sure, I agree. It comes from the top down, man. It comes from the top down. And it is much more widely accepted. And because I think the administration feels there's benefit in what we do. You know, not only the enhancing performance, but helping our work helps to reduce the risk of some of these overuse injuries, which run rampant in the game. It's just the nature of the beast, man. When you're taking, you know, 500 swings a month over 6 months in a row and so many throws per game, there's only so many bullets in the gun, so to speak. So there's more value to what we do.
For sure, agree completely. So let's get on to the WBC. I want to hear about this. That's actually where we met, was in the spring training facility. You guys were in Fort Myers with Team USA, and Kiyoshi told me, hey, man, if you get that podcast up and running, you got to get Frank on there. So you've rubbed Kiyoshi the right way. And if you've rubbed Kiyoshi the right way, you're doing something right. So let's talk about that. What was your role there with Team USA? What kind of responsibilities did you have?
Yeah, first of all, Kiyoshi's my guy. He's one of my best friends in baseball, and you're going to learn a lot from him. Such a great man and a great baseball guy. But the WBC was a really awesome experience, Chris. It was very fortunate. I was blessed to have the opportunity to do it. It was a long time ago when Jim Leland brought his son, Pat Leland, into my facility at PNC Park. Pat had just graduated, got drafted by the Tigers, and Jim wanted him to have someone help him prepare for his first spring training. So, you know, his connections in baseball are long and many. So he came in and basically said, hey, I want someone that knows what they're doing to work with my son. And that was 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And so Jim and I kept the relationship up. When he was named the manager of the Team USA, he looked my way and said, I need a strength coach. Are you interested in servicing that role for me, filling that vacancy? And, you know, it's a no-brainer. I said, yes, I'd be honored. And it all worked out. I was able to get there. And wow, I mean, it was nice because I'd been out 6 years. And just to get back into the pro setting again, working with the elite of the elite at that stage, it was a lot of fun. Great experience, man. It really was.
For sure, man. I bet. And along with that, you know, you got guys from all over coming to play, different organizations and stuff. How do you keep everything in check there? Because I know there's probably a lot of different plans for a lot of different guys. Like you said, they're the elite of the elite, so to speak. So they probably had a lot of individual attention that was required of them. How were you able to manage all of that?
That's a great question. So our goals when we went in is to return everyone back to their camps healthy. And two was to win the whole thing. So to do that, we really had to as a staff person, the personnel, really connect with these guys fast. You know, we could have been two in barbecue and been done the first weekend. So really, we had 27 guys with 27 plans. I communicated with some of the strength coaches. They sent me plans. I spoke to them. And it was my job to help keep these guys consistent with what they had already been doing. I wasn't going to come in and have them do, you know, X, Y, and Z because I was there for those 2 or 3 weeks. So it was finding, you know, building that relationship, earning their trust, and then keeping them consistent with the plan. And of course, it wasn't spring. It was spring training months, but it wasn't spring training atmosphere or what the game was asking from them. So it was very much an in-season type tournament. So transitioning their plan to a little bit of a maintenance for those couple weeks instead of building because they were playing nine innings and going back-to-back days. So that was what we did, and I had awesome support from MLB, from USA Baseball, Tim Maxey, and our worked close with our sports medicine staff and our physicians, and of course the coaching staff was awesome too. So, you know, just keeping them consistent, being there for the guys, whatever they needed from a strength, conditioning, nutritional, flexibility standpoint, you know, being available for them.
Yeah, in a situation where you're coming in like that, where you're, you know, you might not know those guys, I think those are probably the appropriate steps to take. Just get to know them, get them to trust what you're saying, and keep them consistent on their plan. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, I think they, with my background, and I knew some of the staff and a couple of the players just back when I was in, gave me some credibility, and I knew the animal. I spoke the language, and that helped.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure they appreciated it too. What lessons did you take from the WBC that have helped you now back at your job at Allegheny Health Network?
Oh, what lessons did I take from that? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't take anything for granted, man. You know, I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to step back into that setting again, and the opportunity presented itself. You know, just being true to yourself and kind of, I mean, I was a baseball guy before I came into the real world of outside of baseball. So just staying true and being that difference maker and building those relationships and just this foundation, what I was built on, really, continuing what I do.
How many times have you told your clients about the WBC and how awesome it was?
I the ones who were with me, they know because I was gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I brought the gold medal in and showed them, and they had a lot of questions. They saw me on television in the dugouts, the people that follow baseball. So it was cool. I tried not to pat myself on the back too hard, but those that wanted to hear it, I had stories for them.
Yeah.
Just the environment. I wasn't fortunate enough to get to the postseason when I was with Pittsburgh, but it was very much a postseason environment from what the guys said, and the different cultures that were there with the Latin Americans and the Japanese, and it was cool. It was a global feel, and there was a lot of energy and excitement, and I think it's going to continue to grow and continue, period. I think there were talks about discontinuing it, but it was playoff-like baseball in March, which was cool.
Yeah, my roommate in spring training was a trainer for Team Columbia, so we were actually at that first game that you guys played Columbia, and we were in the Colombian family section, and it was insane. And I mean, I can only imagine what it was like being in the dugout for all the games, but just sitting in the stands in that game, it was incredible. So
yeah, that was a tight game against USA.
Yeah, no doubt. The first game of the series, so. It was cool. Like I said, it was cool to see, but I bet being there in the dugout and being involved was just that much sweeter.
Great experience, man. I wouldn't trade it for the world, and I would encourage anyone that gets the opportunity to definitely do it.
For sure. All right, so it seems like you're leading a pretty successful career, whatever that word really means. To you, what makes a strength and conditioning coach successful?
Wow. I think, having a sound knowledge base. Okay, you can't fake the funk. You always want a reason for what you do, and you have to have the education, the evidence-based research that goes behind your methodology. You gotta communicate. You gotta be able to communicate. If I'm in the baseball world, communicating with your staff, communicating with the players, out here what I'm doing now, communicating with my staff, communicating with my clients, administration. So in any successful business, you have to communicate from bottom up, from the top down. So communication is big. Being open-minded. I'm over 20 years in. I'm sure you talk to Gene Coleman. He might be 40 years in. But we don't know it all. There's new things, things evolve. So you want to always continue to educate. You kind of know what works, but there's always ways to improve it. I think that's important, and not being stuck in the old, I'm old school, so to speak, and this is what worked 20 years ago. Well, we know, being in the game, things change, and you need to stay up with the times. Being genuine. A lot of people don't care what you know until they know that you care. So being genuine and learning people's names and making that connection, putting your hands on them and not just barking and pointing and blowing a whistle, but getting down and dirty with them. I remember my first years with the Pirates or even the Rangers, when I asked those guys to, those pitchers that I asked to run, and they said, we don't run the ball to the plate, but when I get in there and run with them, it's a little bit of respect from them. And so getting down and dirty with them and that helps. And just taking that blue collar approach, man, I grew up in Michigan, hard work. And just like Pittsburgh is, and being very hands on and showing the passion and doing what you can do. Go the extra mile. Go the extra mile for your guys, and they'll work for you.
There's a lot of good stuff in there, man. A lot of good stuff. And like you said, they can tell, when you care for them and when you don't and when it's fake. So it sounds like you're doing it right, and definitely appreciate all of that. Kind of along those lines, and you might have already answered some of this, but what advice do you have for others in this field? Young guys looking to get into baseball, or even older guys who have been around for a long time who are still learning, looking to learn, like you said.
Sure. Well, again, just trying to increase your knowledge base. Always go to courses and seminars and put more tools in your toolbox. Get out there and volunteer, man. I have six interns right now for the summer. Three are for credit, college credit. Three, they're on their own dime. They're on their own time. And that tells me something. They want to get better. So if it's not a paid internship, volunteer your time. If you really believe in the guy that's running that facility, hook on to him, man. I remember hanging on to Tim Lang and Fernando Montez and just listening to every word those guys said at the PBATS meetings when there were 13 people there, you know, and it was very intimate. So those volunteer opportunities and network, go out and talk, you know, meet people. You never know. Like you and I met in spring, I may be looking for a guy, you may be looking for a guy, and it's just increasing your scope. The world's a small place if you communicate, man. So just keep getting better and practice what you preach. Practice what you preach. Walk the walk. If you're going to talk it, you got to walk it. So those are my, I guess, Frankie V tips for success.
The Frankie V tips. I like it, man. I like it. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, like you said, volunteering is huge. I know personally, like I had read some things from the guy down at TCU, their baseball guy, and I was like, man, I want to intern for this guy. Like, I got to find a way. And ended up spending a summer there, and I learned so much from the guy. So, like you said, if you really believe in someone and what they're doing, the money's kind of secondary. At least in my mind, the knowledge is, you know, you can't trade it for anything. So, a lot of good advice there.
It'll come back to you. It'll come back to you down the road, man, but you got to put your time in. You got to ride the buses before you get on the charter plane. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Just the hot air, no air conditioned buses that break down, right?
10 hour ride, right? Guaranteed.
For sure. So you talked about gaining knowledge and having a good knowledge base. Where do you go for continuing education? Do you read a lot of books, or are you looking at websites, attending seminars? Where are you going to gain some knowledge?
That's a great question, because knowledge is much more at our fingertips now than it's ever been, you know, with the power of the internet. I don't have the time to read a lot. I think I would if I had the time. And when I did, I was always self-education books. It wasn't for pleasure. But I follow some people. I'll look at some people on the internet, Mike Boyle, and I follow Buddy Morris a little bit out with the Arizona Cardinals. He was in Pittsburgh, so I know him a little bit. Vern Gambetta is one of the pioneers in the game. Of course, I keep up with my guys there with the PBS, CCS, all very knowledgeable. But I'm very careful about what I take in on the internet, because there's a lot of people that are putting their stuff out there. So I try to go with reputable people that I know and that are referred to me from my guys in the industry that I'll look to for recovery or, you know, nutrition. I follow a lot of Leslie Bonsi. We worked together for a long time. As I said, Buddy Morris, Vern Gambetta, Mike Boyle, the whole functional strength, some of the supple leopard stuff with Kelly Stinnett. There's a lot of good things out there and try to diversify, so to speak. I know where my strengths lie and where my weaknesses lie. I try to hire on my weaknesses and definitely educate on some of those areas where I'm not as well versed. So that's kind of a long answer to your question.
No, it's good. Like you said, the internet is it can be awesome, but it's kind of a double-edged sword, man. There's so many people out there just putting things out just to get some likes on social media or whatever. So you got to be real careful and kind of filter through. And like you said, have your guys that you know are knowledgeable and you trust with their information and kind of stick with them. So I'm on board with that completely. All right, if you got time, I know you're busy over there. I'd like to do a lightning round. What do you got on that? You in?
I'm in, dude.
All right, let's do it. First question, who's your biggest influence in the field, in the strength and conditioning field?
Probably Tim Lang. Tim was the first, he was the head strength coach for the Rangers when I was a minor league athletic trainer, and I was just the dope. You know, going over and just watching and hanging out, trying to hang out on the big league side. And he said, if you're going to be here, I'm going to put you to work. So he put me in a group with Pud Rodriguez and Rafi Palmeiro and Juan Gonzalez. And here, take him through a core stabilization program. And he left. He just turned around and went the other way. So it was a sink or swim. And they were all looking at me like, okay, what are you going to do? So I remember that. It was a defining moment in my career, because I was coming out of the athletic training mold, you know, of covering for sports medicine, and instead of being more proactive. So Tim was a very big influence. I was a young strength coach. I had the ATC background. He was very level-headed. He was slow to anger. At the time, there were a lot of personal trainers coming in, had access to the clubhouses, and just watched him how he handled things, his professionalism, his knowledge base. I loved the guy, and he taught me a lot. And he was probably my biggest influence growing up in the field.
That's great, man. Getting thrown into the fire is a great way to learn things. So definitely have been there before. If you could only train with one piece of equipment, what would it be?
That's another good question. The kettlebell, you know, the kettlebell is the one piece we use, and, you know, it's very portable. I can get a total body workout. It does great for range of motion. It does great for strength, functional strength, cardiovascular fitness. So if I had to have one piece on that island, it would be the almighty kettlebell. And that one goes out to Rick Slate, because I know Rick Slater's a big kettlebell guy.
Very underappreciated piece of equipment, no doubt.
Yeah.
Your biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Oof. I guess my biggest accomplishment personally was being accepted to college, University of Michigan. Go Blue.
Go Blue.
That's for Maxie and the boys. And my second is graduating from college. And then, you know, becoming a parent, you know, becoming a father. I have two boys. That's my biggest accomplishment, professionally or personally. And that's my biggest responsibility down here on Earth, is making sure I father those kids and develop them. So when it comes time for they're ready to go out and go off to school, that they're prepared, give them the resources they need to follow their dreams, just like my parents did for me. Professionally, you know, making it to the big leagues was very big. It was big. I was told early in the process, you know, why are you leaving town? You know, just stay here like everyone else and do what we do. But I followed my dreams, and it took 7 years. Took 7 years and got knocked down. You stand back up. I was told that I had to have a master's degree to get to the big leagues. It was very important, you know, when I got that call from David Littlefield in 2002 that, you know, I was chosen to be the strength coach for the Pirates. That was big. You know, that was probably my biggest accomplishment, is getting there.
That's great, man. That's really inspiring. Like you said, you got to put your time in, you know, 7 years, but you never gave up. So that's inspiring to someone like myself who's looking to get there. Last one. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
I'd be a grounds crew guy.
Grounds crew, okay. You just can't get away from baseball, huh?
No, that's a joke. No, that's my exit plan, is to go like Forrest Gump and just take care of a field, line it up, and make sure it's nice and tight, and then I watch all the kids play on it, man. And I'm outside, as long as it's in the southern states. No, seriously, if I had something else to do, you know, my mom always thought I should have been a doctor. And, you know, I had a strong presence in biology and anatomy, and she always thought I had good hands, you know, the hand-eye coordination and the touch, the power of human touch. So I think I would have gone on to medical school and become a doctor.
Interesting. Well, it's been a great time, man. I've had a lot of fun, and we've had, you know, some pretty good discussion here. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, you know, where can we find out more information?
You could definitely Google me. I'm on there a little bit, mostly good things. Or they can email me, okay, frank.velasquez, V as in Victor, ELASQUEZ, 1025@gmail.com. Or frank.velasquez@ahn.org. Those are the two easiest ways. And then we have our website, which is www.ahn.org/sportsperformance, all one word. So those are the easiest ways to reach me.
Cool. Thanks, man. Well, I've had a great time, and I appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you got a busy schedule there, so It's been a lot of fun, and we'll be talking to you soon, man. Thanks again.
Sounds good, Chris. Thanks, man. It's been a pleasure. Good luck to you guys, and keep doing what you're doing, man. Difference, making a difference.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Be good. Take care.
Okay, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the episode with Frank. Frank's a great guy, somebody that I met in spring training and instantly gravitated to. He's got a lot of good hustle, a lot of good energy, and as you can tell, he's very passionate about what he does. A few things that I took from Frank. Number one, don't take anything for granted. He talked about how he had been in the game and was out and was able to come back and experience again with the WBC and how great that experience was for him. Number two, you got to pay your dues. He talked about riding the buses before you get on the charter flights and how it's tough to do, but it's worth it in the end. And number three, I would recommend checking out Frankie V's Tips for Success. He talked about those during the episode. Just brief overview of them: knowledge, volunteer, and network. These are three things that are going to help in your career and help you take the next steps forward. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed the episode with Frank, and we'll talk to you again soon.